we're kicking off a new sermon series called Playing Favorites. And throughout this series, we're going to be studying the book of Philippians. Now, we're going to be focusing on the themes of Philippians. So this is a series that you guys don't want to miss, like everyone else is losing. Like, the Vikings aren't even in the Super Bowl. What are they doing? But yeah, this is a great sermon series, and I'm so pumped to get into this with y'all. Like, the book of Philippians is just stuff full of, like, God's will, his love, his hope, his joy, and so much more. And tonight we're going to be focusing on chapter 1 and the theme throughout it. So tonight's title of the sermon is God's Not Done With You Yet. But as I was studying and whatnot, I like to twist things around. So what I'm calling it is, what's stopping you from God's will? So throughout this message, we're going to be seeing how Paul's character throughout his suffering in prison, and we're going to see how God used his time in prison to not only minister to the churches, but to, like, the prison guards. Like, during Paul's time in prison, he, like, actually shared Jesus with the guards. I just think that's crazy, because he went to prison for sharing Jesus, and now he's in prison sharing Jesus with the people who put him there. And it's just like, good on you, Paul. So, like, in chapter 1, there are a few core beliefs, well, not so, some key verses that through reading it, I figured that we think a certain way, and these verses really challenge that. So they're like the challenge thoughts. And I got four of them. So the first one is, we, or just me, think we're unusable. Two is that we like to neglect the people who care about us, and we don't acknowledge that they care. Three, it's a big one for me, we don't see how any good can come from Christians who fall short. So, like, churches that don't do things that we do, or, like, believers who act a certain way. And four, like I said, like, God wants to use us regardless of where we're at. So I'm going to read all Philippians chapter 1 right now. So it's going to be on the screen, so you guys can read it with me. All right, I'm just going to start. Verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all of God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Together we are the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy, because your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Be confident for this: he who began good works in you will carry out it unto completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right of me to feel this way about all of you, since I have in my heart, whatever in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you in the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth and insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness and that comes through Christ Jesus Christ, to glory and praise God. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it became clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else in chains for Christ. And because of the chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true, some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I'm put here for defense of the gospel. The former preach out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The most important thing in every way, whether it's false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I will rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers, God and God's provisions of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage that now, as always, Christ Jesus will be exalted in my body, whether it's life or by death. For me, to live in Christ and to die is gain. If I am going on living in this body, this means fruitful labor for me. Yet, shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far, but is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know I will remain and I will continue with all of you for the progress in your progress and the joy in the faith, so that through my being you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on the account of me. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but you will be saved, and that by God. For this is granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only believe in him, but also suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggles you saw I had, and now I hear that I still have. That was 5 pages worth of verses. So I appreciate y'all for just bearing with me in that. I know I'm not the best reader at times, but there's a lot to digest within that. And to make that simpler, I'm not going to go through it all again. I actually have a few verses that I want to focus on. Those verses are 6, 9, 17, and 18, and 27. So let's just start with verse 6. And this, and the belief that it's challenging. Now, the belief that it's challenging is that we, or just me, I know I'm, like, forewarning, this message is pretty much me just talking about how much I struggle and fall short. So bear with me on that. If you can relate to some, that's, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to say, oh, way to go, you struggle. But yeah, I just want to preface that. So the belief that verse 6 is challenging is we don't think we're usable by God. Or, like, putting it in a different way, we don't think we're good enough for God and his will for us. I know for me, that's very true. Like, I live most of my life not pursuing the dream that God called me to dream and the call that he has on my life. I was perfectly content working a job that I hated until the day I died. But I mean, that would just eat me alive and I'd hate that. But the dreams and calling that God has for me, I feel are just too big for me to really accomplish. And the fear of failure was a big motivator in me just staying content. So for a long time, I accepted the false narrative that my dreams were just dreams and that's it. I don't know if any of you can relate, but if you can, I just want to alliterate that the dreams are just dreams narrative is a false one. And when we read verse 6, it sheds more light on that narrative. Being confident in this, that he who began good works in you will carry it out to completion until the day Christ Jesus. All right, I'm going to expect some enthusiasm here. How many of y'all heard that? Okay. It was a bit slow, but I mean, I appreciate that. He who began great works in you will carry them out into completion. Like, come on. We are called to have big dreams because our God who gave us those big dreams is big. We have a big God. And I completely understand how when we're thinking and planning out how we're going to fulfill our dreams, it becomes overwhelming at times. But we know who's in control. If you don't, it's God. So now you do. I mean, yes, we might know we might not know the path that God has for us or what that might look like, but we can be completely confident in it because it's God's path. Like, our paths might look good and look pretty, but like, they're very dark and not good. And God's path is just, like, it's God's path. Like, I know last time I preached, I talked about how God's the creator of the universe and whatnot. And every time I look to the skies and see, like, stars and stuff, it's like, wow, we love a great God. And that God, the God of all creation, placed passions and dreams and callings for you to follow out. And you better believe he's going to help you carry those out. Like, throughout our journey on these paths and dreams, God is going to place people in our lives to help guide us and teach us what those how to do that in a better way. Like, which brings us to the next problem. We don't really acknowledge or accept that people actually do care and want us to grow. Like, we'll see these dreams as just our dreams, and we'll be all like, oh yeah, that's great and all, but how am I gonna do that? And we won't, well, I'm speaking for myself right now, so if you guys feel like I'm projecting onto you, just know that I'm just speaking from my own stance. Like, I know, like, when I have a big dream or something, I want affirmation, but I don't see, like, I don't believe when people are affirming me. So that brings us to the next point, which is we neglect to see how much people care about us. Like, I know I said this before, like, we have crazy big dreams, but, like, for me, I can have, like, all the confidence of God and whatnot, but I really don't. And then I can still be deterred when I feel like I don't have support from others. Like, I'll get all fired up about some projects that I'm working on. Like, I love writing, so I want to write a book and whatnot, and I love pursuing preaching and stuff. But I will just, like, douse that fire when I don't, like, accept the affirmations that people are giving me. Like, I'm holding on to all these negative beliefs, and it's just like, I'm not good enough, or why would anyone want to listen to me, or what can I even produce for writing and whatnot? I'm not the best. I suck at grammar. And then, like, I'm just holding on to all these, and then when people come up to me and like, oh, I really liked your message, or oh, you're a really good writer, I can't accept it because my arms are just full of all these negative beliefs. Like, maybe that's true for you and you can relate. If so, like, I want to turn our attention to verse 9, and just, we're going to get deep into this one. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight. So, I mean, there's a pretty basic way to interpret this verse, which is like, oh, I need to love people more, and I need to know more about God. Well, that is true. Like, I'm not going to take away the validation of that. I think there's also a deeper self-reflective interpretation of this verse. That being, I need to love myself more and know that others love me and care about me and understand the wisdom that God's given me and allowed me to give. While Paul in this verse, like, blatantly states that he's praying for someone, and that's an action of love, like I said, there's more to take from this verse. That is, you're worthy of the love that you receive, and you're worthy of having a big dream and big affirmation. Like, when people speak life into you, you're worthy enough to accept it. Like, I'm preaching to myself right now. I don't know if any of y'all need this, but like, it's so hard for me to accept it sometimes, because it's like, no, I see where I fall short. I see where I struggle. And like, it's just, God wants us to understand the truths in our lives, and he used people in our lives to speak those truths over us. Now, like, you might be good with yourself. Like, you might be like, oh yeah, like, God gave me these dreams for a reason and whatnot. So I'm going to turn to a different point, which is the other belief that challenges, probably the one that I didn't want to write about because I just didn't like it. Well, I like it, but I didn't appreciate it because of the stuff it made me focus on, which is, we see how other believers fall short, and we can't believe any good can come from it. While judging ourselves is easy, and it's easy to see our shortcomings, it's way easier to see other people's shortcomings. Like, it's way easier to be all like, oh, that Christian doesn't know what it means to be a Christian. Or like, Jesus wouldn't act like that. Like, I'm speaking for myself, and if you feel like I'm projecting, I'm sorry. But I get so caught up in how other people act and refuse to love a group of people or act a certain way, or this certain scandal came out in a church, that I refuse to accept that any good has come from a community like that or people like that. And like, this is, if I'm being honest with you, like, this is like one of my biggest struggles. Like, I have plenty of grace for unbelievers, but I have very little for believers. Like, if I see like a member of a church like judging someone before they love them, I'll judge them before I love them. Like, I don't know. I have a very one-sided mindset when it comes to this. And I get very heated when I see that, and I won't, like, I'll justify my anger. And that's just unfair, because while they might fall short in this area, they could excel in some areas that I don't even touch on. Like, a church that doesn't accept someone because they love a certain way might love the homeless and have a great ministry for them, but I won't acknowledge that because I just see this one thing. And then when I read verse 17 and 18, like, my first reaction was like, shut up, Paul. Like, they deserve it. They deserve that persecution. They're like, they're sharing Jesus out of selfish ambition, and they're working towards making your stay at prison a lot harder than it has to be. And like, over the week, my brilliant girlfriend like shared a little truth to me, and it was like, ugh. And then I read this, and I was like, ugh. And it wasn't so much my brilliant girlfriend, it was also my amazing dad, God. And then I was reading this. We read verse 17. Well, they're preaching out selfish ambition and working on making Paul stay at prison harder. And then we expect Paul to respond one way. But then when we read verse 18, it's not what we expect. So verse 18 reads, but what does it matter? The important thing that in every way, rather it's from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. These are the people that wanted to make Paul's stay in a Roman prison. A Roman prison is already hard as it is. Like, those were the people who invented crucifixion. So you can imagine that their prisons weren't too nice. They wanted to make Paul stay in that prison harder than it already was. But Paul is all like, hey, they're talking about Jesus. That's a W. And it's like, what? Yeah, you guys can laugh if you want. It makes me feel a lot better because there's not as many of you. So when you don't laugh, it's like, oh. But Paul like knew when people would talk about Jesus, regardless of their intention, it'd make other people curious. And those people who were curious would seek out who Jesus was and what he lived for and what he died for. Like, this is a mindset that I know I need to start working towards, because a church divided is a church defeated. And when we decide to look at other people's shortcomings and just acknowledge the shortcomings, we're cutting them short, but we're also allowing, we're saying, hey, it's okay that you do the same for me. And that's not the way Jesus would want. Like, that mindset that Paul had was one that had no doubt of what God and Jesus could do. Like, Paul knew if someone had bad intention but talked, like, speak Jesus's name, it'd get people curious. And I feel like that's the same today. Like, there's some churches where it's like, oh, I don't know if they know who Jesus is, but they mention Jesus, and the people who they're like attacking would be like, I actually did some research on Jesus, and that's not how he was. And it's like, way go, there's a silver lining in everything. So like, it's a mindset that's completely confident in God, in the God that has complete confidence in us. And that's something that, like, I don't know, the God that has complete confidence in us is something that's like, it's nice to say, but it's hard to believe. Which brings us to our last verse to focus on in the last challenge thought, which is God wants to use you where you're at. I know I talked a lot about where I struggle, and pretty much that was the whole message of like, hey, I'm Barry, I have a lot of shortcomings and struggles. But as we wrap up, I want to make it clear that our shortcomings and the shortcomings of others don't define us or our God. We're called to be worthy, and we're called to love this amazing, more than worthy God. And I'd like to aim our attention on our last verse of the night, which is verse 27. And it reads, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, rather I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. We're called to love ourselves and love our God and love others regardless of who we are or who our other people are. We're called to operate out of love. Regardless of the plan that God might have for you, regardless of the career you're feeling led or feeling pulled into, the one thing that we're all called to do is stand firm in God's steadfast love and his righteousness. Like, it's the best place to be. I know I say it all the time, God's presence is the best place to be, but it's because it's the truth. And regardless where you're at in life, like, God's not done with you yet. Like, that's just a fact. God might not even be started with you yet. So get ready. Get ready wherever you're at, guys. Like, God's got big plans for you. Like, I know I've mentioned a lot about God's plan, his calling, and his purpose for you. And, like, some of you might be confused on that and not understand what that means. But a brilliant author named Bob Yoff came up with a formula to get a general idea of what that plan and purpose might be. He says in the book, Love Does, and this is where I want you guys to focus on your piece of paper and write down what these might be for you. Add your whole life, your loves, your passions, your interests together with what God says he wants us to be about, and that's your answer. So I want you guys on that piece of paper to write down what those are for you. And then pray about it, and pray about what God wants, like, for God to reveal what that is for you. Like, because he's got big plans for you. Like, regardless of what that might look like. Bob Goff also says the best calling in life is to be kind and to love others. And that's what we're called to do. It's probably like a pretty dope calling if God calls us to do it. So, like, as we go into these songs, I just want you to reflect and think about what that looks like for you. And just know that God's not done with you yet.